नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शाणमतामो चक्रे विमानं रथिनं च जीवम् अनुर्हितस्य प्रणवं पतन्ति शरं तु जीवं परमेव लक्ष्यम् अक्षं दश प्राणमधर्मधर्मो चक्रे विमानं रथिनं च जीवम् अनुहितस्य प्रणवं पतन्ति शरं तु जीवं परमेव लक्ष्यम् Yes, please, someone of you.
Aksham dasa pranam adama dhamo.
Aksham dasa pranam adama dhamo.
Chakre vimanam rathinam cha jivam.
Chakre vimanam rathinam cha jivam.
Dano hitasya pranavam patanti.
Dano hitasya pranavam patanti.
Saram tu jivam. Param nivaraksyam
Saram dujivam Param nivaraksyam
Aksham dasa pranam adharma dharma
Aksham dasa pranam adharma dharma
Chakre vimanam ratinam cha jivam
Chakre vimanam ratinam cha jivam
Tanuritasya pranavam patanti
Tanuritasya pranavam patanti
अक्षम दश प्राणं अधर्म धर्मौ
अक्षम दश प्राणं अधर्म धर्मौ
चक्रे विमानं रथिनं च जीवम्
चक्रे विमानं रथिनं च जीवम्
धनुर्हितस्य प्रणवं पतन्ति
धनुर्हितस्य प्रणवं पतन्ति
शरं तु जीवं परमम् एव लक्ष्यम्
शरं तु जीवं परमेव लक्ष्यम्
माताजीस् प्लीज
अक्षम दश
प्रणम धर्म धर्मो
चक्रे
विमानं रथिनं च जीवम्
दानादितस्य
प्रणवं पतन्ति
शरं तु जीवं परमेव लक्ष्यम्
अक्षम् The spokes on the chariot wheel. Dasha, 10. Pranam, 10 kinds of air flowing within the body. Adharma,
religion.
Dharmo,
religion.
The two sides of the wheel up and down. Chakre in the wheel. Abhimanam false identification. Ratinam the charioteer or master of the body. Also,
Jivam,
the living entity, Kanu,
the
bow, indeed, Tasya,
this,
Pranavam, the Vedic mantra Omkara, Patanti, it is said, Sharam, an arrow, to but Jivam, the living entity, Sri Chivratna Singh Devaki, Param, the Supreme Lord, Deva, indeed, Lakshyam, the target. Translation. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra Pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. Purport. 10 kinds of life air always flow within the material body. They are called prana, apana, samana, yana, udana, naga, kurma, krikala, devadatta, and dananjaya. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. The life air is the energy for all of a living being's activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portion of the chariot's wheels. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Na devidu svartakatim hi Vishnu Durashayayevahiratamaina. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. Sarvopari viniyamuktam tatparat vena nirmalam. Then is purified of the bodily conception of life, then he takes the arrow of his purified life and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwan, can you all follow? A little difficult in the morning, a little tired. Very nice analogy is given that the mantra is the bow and the living entity is the arrow, and the goal is who? Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the bow and arrow are used in this world, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which there are 12. When the conditioned source tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the altaramina, or the fish, within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet by dint of performing his heroic activities of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtyaresha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, the organizers of the festivals have asked me to give two lectures, one yesterday evening about the book distribution, and today in the morning a lecture on the chanting of the holy name. And so we have chosen this verse because it gives us a very nice image of what is going on when we chant the holy name. When we can chant properly, we have a fundament for our spiritual life, which will go very deep and which will allow us to build our spiritual life on very, let me say, good grounds or unshaken grounds. If you want to go in your spiritual life and make progress, it's almost like building a house. The higher you want to go in building a house, the deeper you must put your fundament. I know, for instance, in Mayapur, where we built the temple of Vedic Planetarium which is the highest structure, we needed to make a fundament which goes 50 meters into the ground. 50 meters. Really? So in your spiritual life, you want to go way back home, back to Godhead, very far you want to go. It is important that you now put a very deep fundament in your life, a very strong fundament, a very stable fundament, so that in your progress you will not crash down. You might know there's one architectural wonder. It is called the Tower of Pisa, and because the medieval architects neglected to put a strong fundament for this tower, the tower goes every year a little bit more down like this. So it's a question of time and it will fall. Deep fundaments are important if you want to go far in your life. Very important. History tells us. Also spiritual history tells us. So many of our devotees have come to the movement for Krishna consciousness, and so many of them have also done excellent services in various areas like book distribution and founding projects, building temples. But because they have not always taken care enough to build their spiritual fundament very substantial, they faced difficulties in their life and sometimes were for a short time defeated by those difficulties. So today I would therefore love to speak about building a strong fundament for our spiritual life, and I hope that you are attentive. I know I can't speak Czech. This is a big problem in my life. It is a great offense on my part that I have neglected this beautiful language. Bhaktivinod Thakur has made a very deep point in speaking about the holy name. He said, in this world of dull matter, there are only two entities which are full of life. Who of you can imagine what are these two living beings in this dead, otherwise dead matter? Was? Sorry? I think someone of you said something.
Chivas.
The Chivas. Way to say it is the Chivas. The living entities, you are alive in this matter. Now those who know it already, please don't say it. I'm speaking to the Sankirtan devotees. Who else is alive in this dead world? Only a second entity. You have only one choice. Paramatma. That's very, very. Who said? You are a great philosopher. Thank you. No, it's a very deep thought. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the holy name. But Paramatma is also right, that's also a correct answer. So two living, two are there, the living being and the holy name, who is identical with Krishna. And our task is to make the two meet, that they can come together, you and the holy name. And an analogy has been supplied here. The analogy of bow shooting. When you take a bow and place an arrow on the bow, what you wish to do is you wish to bring the arrow to a target. Zeal, the goal. That is the whole idea of using a bow. So in the chanting also, this is something like bow shooting, at least we hear this in this verse and purport. You have to make sure that you are connecting yourself with the holy name properly, who's Krishna. We have to, Prabhupada says it like this. One takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The chanting, to chant really nicely, and then this, you have a powerful bow, a long bow, and you place yourself into the sound vibration of the holy name, and it carries you, or brings you, or throws you, or hurls you, or shoots you into the Supreme Personality of God. This is the idea of chanting. So, I would like to go through the three practices which are important in chanting. Taking it from this example of the bow shooting, the first thing which you need to do is to take aim. Yes. How do we say this in Czechoslovakian language? To take aim. That sounds very good. When you chant in the same way, you must first take aim. If a bowman, they are also called marksmen in English, does not take aim, he might shoot his child. The little boy is there, and he's not. He's maybe tired and doesn't take aim. Our puppy! He shoots his child or his wife or his new car or whatever. So in chanting, it is similarly very important that you take the aim. And when you sit there, you must know that this is now your time with Krishna. When you do kirtan, it is very important to understand that this is not a dancing party, but it is a process for yoga dharma, the yoga dharma, where you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So important. It's so important. This is the difference between the Mayavadi chanting and the devotional chanting of the bhaktas, the devotees of Krishna. The Mayavadis do not think of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, they often believe that they are the Lord themselves. But a devotee is different. He knows there is Krishna, and I want to please him with my chanting. I want to reach him. There's a very nice verse which helps many devotees to take aim as they chant. It is from the Chaitanya. I will first say it in Bengali and English, and then I will give you the number. Krishna toma nayari bale eka bara maya banda vaite Krishna tare kare para. One is immediately freed from the clutches of maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Would you like to know where you can find this verse in Prabhupada's books? No. No need. It is necessary for us. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. This is how you can become free from maya, from illusion. You pray to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I have forgotten you, but today I'm surrendering unto you. I will chant my rounds and I will put my consciousness on the holy name. I will fix my consciousness up at your lotus feet. Please engage me in your service. This turning to Krishna is really important when you chant. We have often told the story of Draupadi. When Draupadi was brought in the public assembly, and there was an attempt made to disrobe her, she actually turned to many people for help. She first turned to Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma. Do you see? They are doing an irreligious act. They are trying to disrobe me. Help me. But Bhishma did not help. He was receiving his food from Duryodhana. So he didn't want to turn against Duryodhana and his side, his people. So then Draupadi, in great helplessness, turned to the assembled kings. She turned to Dhritarashtra. She turned to everyone who was in the hall. But they just laughed at her. And in her tremendous agony and pain, they attacked and took and pulled at her cloth. Finally, Draupadi turned to Lord Krishna by putting her hands in the air and shouting, "Hey Janardana, oh Krishna." And then Krishna helped her. Do you know how he helped Draupadi?
He plowed the sari.
He supplied an unlimited length of sari. Thank you very much. And in this way, no matter how much the what's his name? Dushasan, no? Pulled it at a cloth. But endless supply of cloth was supplied and was given by Lord Krishna. And this way Draupadi remained covered. And so after all was over, Draupadi met this Krishna and said, "My Lord, I have a question." Yes. Why did you come so late? Krishna said, "Listen, Draupadi. In the beginning, when these rascals attacked you, you turned to Bhishma. So I thought, she turns to Bhishma, let him help. I don't want to push myself into it." Then you turned to practically all the assembled kings, including the blind and the Dhritarashtra. I again thought, well, she looks for help there. She doesn't look for my help. So let them try to help. I want to come when I'm called. Is this correct, Draupadi?" Draupadi answered, "Yes. Only at the very end, Draupadi turned to Krishna. Then Krishna came." So in chanting, we cannot really make advancement if we chant mechanically, automatically. We have to learn to turn to Krishna as we chant. The second thing which we have to observe when we want to chant properly is we have to make an effort. Just like in bull shooting, let us return to our analogy. The bowman, or the, is he called a marksman also?
Archer.
Thank you. You know English very well. And the archer has to make an effort to pull the string. It's sometimes very hard, these heavy bows, where you can shoot on a long distance. You require a lot of strength. You need to make a lot of effort. I think one of our Medanga players today has had good strength, and he would be able to use this instrument of a bow. Yes, and chanting also, you need some mental strength, really, some effort. What do you think is the effort which a serious chanter has to do when he wants to reach Radha Krishna?
Attentive hearing
has to do. Others? What is the effort? When you sit down in the morning, what effort is required of you?
Focus.
I think we know. Very good answers. These two answers are excellent. Any other? I'm sorry? Humility. Yes, to bow down.
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm, Prabhupada said, is like the motor which drives our spiritual life forward. You know, if you have a car and someone stole the motor overnight, the car cannot go anywhere. So if you have your spiritual practice but you have lost your enthusiasm, you will not go very far. That is true.
Ausdauer.
Persistence. Yes, you have all given very, very
all
nice.
The orders of the spiritual master.
I'm sorry?
All the order of the spiritual master.
Oh, yes. Through the order of your spiritual master. That's an effort. A very nice answers you have given.
and they are all very nice. I was thinking when I prepared for this class and to make the effort, a simple effort, where you just keep your chanting going and at the same time listening to your chanting. Prabhupada has given us two instructions on this. One is very famous, another is less known. He said, you have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and then hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? He said. Some people even said, I have to control my mind when I chant, no? And Prabhupada said, no, effort needs to, you have to chant and hear. And as you do this, make the sound with your tongue and hear the sound with the ear. That is, of course, you concentrate. Hare, please let us chant one mantra together, but not like we usually do, but let us try to hear every holy name. Yes, because Prabhupada says we should chant, and then we must hear our own sound, not the sound of Valmiki Prabhu or any other devotee. Our own sound. One, two, Jai Nisimha.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Now I have a question. I want you to be perfectly honest. You have chanted, but who of you has heard himself chanting? Not the others. The others are very easy to hear, but to hear yourself. That's an interesting question, isn't it? No need to answer it. Sometimes we have embarrassing situations. But my dear devotees, this is the effort you have to do. Once His Holiness Jaya Advaita Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada for an advice how to chant. And Srila Prabhupada said something which many devotees who have heard this have taken as their personal guideline for chanting. He said, just try to listen to yourself, chant sincerely. Could I repeat this for you, please? No?
Yes.
I don't know many of you, and therefore I'm a little insecure in your presence. Please forgive me. Just try to listen to yourself, chant sincerely. I would recommend you, if you do take notes, this is a good sentence to take note of and then practice in your spiritual life. For this you need to just chant sincerely, and our devotees have given advices, chant in a humble state of mind, that you really feel, my Lord, I'm so fallen, I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me out of this ocean and take me to your lotus feet. So we chant in this sincere monologue, please. Accept me, please engage me, please, my Lord. And then you hear yourself. This is something which we only do when we give lectures and we listen to ourselves and we are very pleased that we are talking. But we do not listen to ourselves in conversations. We don't hear our sound. Many people do that. But when we chant, we have to really listen. And it's not so easy because the mind always wants to shut off, means switch off, when there is something repeating itself. And we chant for 2 hours the same mantra over and over again, and then we repeat it again, and then repeat it again. The mind just wants to switch off. And I know, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, no? So, I know. But the idea is you must keep your mind focused. You must break an old habit, so to say, and try to listen to yourself, chanting sincerely with some devotional feeling. This is very important. This is the effort which we have to do. You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. This is the basic effort. As you advance in chanting, there are only Prabhupada's said many, many, many more things which can help us to chant. But let us be practical this morning and let us discuss things which we can actually do and if we commit ourselves doing these things. They are very practical, very easy. The third thing which we take again from the analogy given in this shloka is when the archer has taken aim, and that is when you have focused on the target, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in a devotional way, that please, my Lord, I have forgotten you, but now I will remember you, I will chant your name. And if you have made the effort really to sincerely listen to yourself chanting, then comes the third thing. What does an archer do when he has taken aim and what and made the effort to, how do you say this moment, to draw the bow? That's called drawing. What does he do then?
Let's go.
Yes, he lets go. You have to learn to let go, because if you don't do it properly, it can really hurt your hand. You know, some people have real strong bows. Some people have lost fingers. You know, they didn't do it properly. To place the bow with the proper thing. And you have to also know that it doesn't hit here. Ooh, I almost lost my thumb once when I was a child. Very strong bow with a metal string. So you have to let go. And to let go in chanting is you need to surrender your life to Krishna. The chanting of the holy name is our first and foremost prayer, said Srila Prabhupada. And in prayer, praying, it's very important to surrender, to forget, Prabhupada here, to give up the bodily conception and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, certain society. You know, we also certain ashram, Swami, I'm a Brahmachari, I'm a Grihastha, I'm this or that, I'm a successful person in this field or that field. You have to really surrender. In his book Sharanagati, which is a collection of songs, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks a very provocating question. It comes in the first song where he asks, whose prayer does Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, hear? When I first heard this, everyone's prayer, no? Whose prayer does Krishna hear? This question means that there are some prayers which he doesn't listen to. So whose prayer does Krishna hear? The answer which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is the prayer of one who submits like surrenders unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. She, Nanda Kumar, hears the prayers of those persons. These six items are to take on a very humble mood, to surrender yourself, then to accept the Lord as your maintainer, your guardian, like a child has a maintainer that is his father, so that the devotee thinks the Lord is taking care of me. Then to accept the Lord as your protector, then to reject what is unfavorable in bhakti, and to what is the last thing? To accept what is favorable, yes? Sometimes not so easy for us rebellious souls, you know. I was very impressed yesterday when your Sankirtan leaders, Sankirtan Prabhu, Valmiki Prabhu, and Ananda Krishna Prabhu, when they told us about some examples of devotees who wanted to study in the university, but they thought that is maybe not so favorable for my Krishna consciousness. It's more favorable to participate in the marathon. Then they accepted this, what is more favorable. Very impressed by this. So Krishna looks for devotees who surrender, in one word. Jagadananda Pandit, a dear associate of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, once said, if you wish to advance on the path of pure bhakti, not many rules in spiritual practices are necessary. There's only one thing which is necessary. If you want to make advancement, only one thing is necessary. Would you like to know this?
Yes.
I would have told you anyways, but I want to remind you a little. What is necessary? Who of you has an idea? If someone comes to you and says, Prabhu, I want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness in 2017. What advice can you give me? Tell me straightforward, even though I may not like to hear it, feel free to give me an instruction. What is the one thing I should do? One devotee would say, I would recommend him to be sincere. Wonderful. Others?
Pray to Krishna.
Pray to Krishna. Pray more to Krishna. Just imagine someone who is very dear to you comes and says, "Tell me that one thing, and if you can tell it to me and give some reference to the Shastras, I believe more when it comes from Prabhupada or from the scriptures. And please, if you can, supply me with a reference." What would you say? Well, I'm making it difficult, I know.
Surrender.
Be constantly engaged.
Enthusiasm.
Be enthusiastic, Prabhu. Yes. Then the Prabhu would say, "But how to do that? I'm not Paramatma Krishna, you know."
Mercy of spiritual master.
Beg for the mercy of the spiritual master.
Following
the spiritual master. Wonderful answers. Sadhus have more association with devotees, Prabhu. Don't run away.
Eat more prasad.
What? Sorry?
Eat more prasad.
Eat more? Really? What do you tell them? They are undernourished, maybe. That's how I come. You have a very creative answer. That's the first time in my life I've heard that. But I will think more deep about it. Jagadananda Pandit said, "If you wish to advance in the path of bhakti, not many rules and spiritual practices are necessary. Simply beg for the complete shelter of Krishna's name and thus purify your heart and consciousness." Like when you chant, you do it, in other words, with sharanagati, with surrendering. Because this is we hear this. Krishna only hears your prayers or your chanting when you surrender. He doesn't hear so much from a casual or yesterday I heard one devotee has a name, "Take it easy." I know we give this name for out of affection and there's nothing wrong with this, but when it comes to serious spiritual practice, you have to commit yourself. So then only Krishna knows, this person is serious. He really wants it. And then he accepts the prayers of such a person. If someone is not sincere, he doesn't hear. It's like Prabhupada says, when you chant, you should chant like the child crying for the mother. For those of you who have watched mothers, the child usually always cries the whole day. But sometimes he just cries a little bit. But when he is sincere, the mother knows that they're going to. That's not a good cry. You know what I mean. And then they really mean it. Then the mother comes. So when you really mean it, when you ask a surrendered soul, when you want to take shelter, when you beg for Krishna's shelter of the holy name, then he hears you. And this is the main recommendation to do this. My dear devotees, our chanting needs to be improved. We are glorious people. I know. It's glorious to go on Sankirtan. If now we can put our chanting, make it very sincere, and beg for Krishna's mercy to come in the form of the holy name, my dear devotees, your spiritual life will progress very, very much. I want to now come to the end. I want to now say a big doubt. It's a big doubt. If the holy name is so powerful and so glorious, like we always hear on the lectures, why do people not feel its potency even after daily chanting? There are some devotees which we hear in the scriptures, like Haridas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami and so on. But why is it almost impossible to find a modern devotee who has experienced the full power of the holy name? Why is it so rare? If this is the main process in the age of Kali, if this is why Prabhupada came to preach, he would often say, you know, this is what I came to give. In Germany he once said, I have not come to teach you a lot of philosophy. I have come to simply request one thing of you. Chant the holy name, he said in Germany, I was there. Chant the holy name, purify your consciousness and realize your original position. That means realize who you are. That's all. Why do we find so few examples? And and what can we do to experience the full potency of the holy name? We were saying if there's one thing to improve for next year, it's chanting the holy name, because from there so many other blessings will come, so many devotees will be attracted, so many books will be distributed if our consciousness is pure. So my dear devotees, this is a very serious point. Please listen. If you listen good, I can be very fast. If you listen not good, I have to explain everything very long. So listen very fast, then you get quickly your prasada. So in chanting, when you chant, you want to please Krishna. But if you do offenses, then you displease Krishna, and Krishna turns away from you. Not completely, but he goes in the distance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. When you serve a master, the master is pleased with you. But if you make an offense towards the master, then the master gets upset with you. Especially if the offense happens while the servant does his seva. Imagine there's a servant serving his master, and the master says, could you please, I have this problem with my foot, could you just massage the foot a little? And then the servant says, he tells me to massage his foot. Oh, okay, this is my chance. Let me take a needle as I'm massaging. I go, the master says, what did you do? Why did you do this? He is becoming very upset, and rightly so. And he may say, okay, this is too much, you know. You will no longer do this, you know. I keep you a little in the distance, and I will just take care that you get some little food, you know, but you will not get your full, what is it, full food, and full reward, full Lakshmi. No, no, only minimal is given so that the servant doesn't die. You know. So this is happening, especially when you do an offense during the seva of chanting. It is very, very bad. And the offense which we can do during the chanting, there's only one thing during the chanting, while the practice is going on. While the practice is going on, you usually don't, you know, you're busy with the chanting, but when you are inattentive, you can chant for many, many lifetimes, and if you commit this offense, there will be not the full benefit of pure Krishna consciousness. It will not be given to you. So you must work hard on avoiding the 10 offenses. And if you make a sincere study of them, you will soon understand that you can't avoid them. Alone, it's not possible. Think of inattention. We chanted this morning. How many mantras did you hear? It's a good question, no? No need to answer this question. Haridas Thakur addresses Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Harinam Chintamani, and he says, "My dear Lord, simply by one's own effort, no one in this world is able to control his mind. Such a defeat, or no, such a victory over the mind, is only possible if by your mercy. Therefore, I must beg for your mercy. I must simply pray for your mercy." So, my dear devotees, this is something to think about. Beg for the mercy of Krishna so that you can chant without offenses. And then, if you can chant without offenses, your life will come into the next dimension. Your service will come into the next dimension. Your relationship amongst yourself will come to the next dimension, and you will actually see miracles unfolding in your life within this wonderful movement. Hare Krishna. I have said what I wanted to say this morning. If you have some questions, I will be very brief because I know time is there. Yes, Hare Krishna. Your good name again?
My name is Ishvara Chandra Das.
Ishvara Chandra Prabhu. Yes, please ask your question.
Слушай, уже некогда со нашими робить упрямя, а мы а так киби.
Sometimes we are trying sincerely, but we make some mistakes.
А то может быть положено на те за престу.
And that might be also understood, understand as offenses. Mm-hmm. How we can understand this?
Mm-hmm. Is the question clear? Ishvara Chandra Prabhu has asked. I mean, for the devotees, you could translate it, Prabhuji. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we give our best, we try sincerely, but we make mistakes. Can these be counted as offenses? Ishvara Chandra Prabhuji. I can see that yesterday, I think, Sankirtan Prabhu said that you are very sincere, or one, I forgot, from Czechoslovakia?
From Slovakia. Yes.
So that's your place.
Yes.
When you try sincerely, Krishna sees this sincerity. Krishna is different from us, human beings. We see every mistake of another person. When someone comes with a white dhoti and there's a black spot, we see the black spot for sure. Prabhuji! You know, we see it like this. But Krishna sees differently. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he does not see the mistakes of his devotees. If the devotee is a devotee, that means he's sincere. He does not have a place in his heart for a mistake. He sees in the example, there's this white cloth, it's so much white, wonderful, little black spot. He doesn't see, it's just insignificant in comparison to all the light which is there. Krishna has a different perspective. And if he would not have this perspective, we would have very small chances, because we are conditioned still. And conditioned soul means we are making mistakes. In the 11th canto, Krishna explains this to Uddhava. He says, my devotee understands that sense gratification brings one to a miserable end. But sometimes my devotee cannot control himself. My devotee should be happy and continue to practice Krishna consciousness by listening about my glorious activities, and soon he will come to the next level. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says this to Arjuna: Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya va ananya va sadhu eva samantavya same yukta tamo mata. It means, although my devotee makes mistakes, he may do the most abominable, he may make an abominable activity. Really, that means something bad, really bad. Not the small mistakes which you have in mind, but something abominable. He should still be considered to be saintly, because very soon, that means if he stays in the heart, he will become righteous. This is the perspective of Krishna. This is not often preached in our movement, because we want to instruct our devotees to give their best. No? Therefore we say, please take care of this, avoid this, avoid this. And this is very important, this discussion. But I want to see it now from the perspective of Krishna. Krishna sees my devotee is endeavoring. He is genuinely trying. And he sees this as very, very much. Rupa Goswami writes a verse on this. He says, one moment, I will just have to remember this verse in English. My Lord takes the slightest effort of his devotees as something very wonderful. On the other hand, he patiently smiles when his devotee does an offense against him. And he is very grateful for every little service which is rendered. This is our Lord. He is a Lord of love. Now, Ishvarachandra, this does not mean for the devotees that they should not try their best and that they should avoid making mistakes. If a devotee takes this kindness of the Lord as an opportunity, okay, now I can do sinful activities, I have heard the Lord is very forgiving, then this would mean he's not really thinking like a devotee. And this kindness of Krishna is offered to his devotees. So no, we should try our best, but we should know that Krishna has this quality, that he does not see the mistakes in the hearts of his devotees. And this perspective, I feel, is very necessary for the devotees also to take. We are sometimes so judgmental about each other. What is judgmental in the sweet Czechoslovakian language? We pass judgments very quickly. Oh, nonsense. Oh, wrestle. Oh, you know, very quickly. Yes. The higher we go, the faster we can pass judgment. This is not a spiritual perspective. Fault finding is not a spiritual perspective. This is a typical material perspective. We have the sad duty to be a leader. I want to say it's not like this. If we are a leader, if we are a teacher, if we are a spiritual master, then we have to help the young devotees to see, and we have to also show them their points as a service that we have. But remember, Krishna is not seeing the mistakes of his devotees. He is full of love for his devotees and forgives them.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this very important question. I can take one more. Well, there are two more questions. These two more. This and this. This and you. Let us start here. Your question.
I want first ask in English. Then
please,
in Czech.
Please.
So, how to help someone?
If you can ask in Czech first, then I can.
Okay.
No. Right. No. First in English, then I can think about it and you speak Czech. Yes. That's okay. A good. Yeah.
How to help someone when we see that person do some offenses against devotees? How to help this person to avoid this, that Krishna will be in far away from the devotee? Mm-hmm. Takže já jsem se ptal Maharaj, že jak pomoct někomu, když vidíme, že ta osoba dělá přestupky proti vedeným, aby se jakoby nedostala do toho stavu, kdy Krishna jakoby se jí vzdálí.
In Vaishnava etiquette, we learn how to correct someone. You ask how to help them see their mistake. And that is, when we observe something, we go to someone who is superior to that person. Dharma, I observed this, did you also observe this, did you also hear it? And then, that's, if we are correct, then that superior devotee will speak to him. See, when someone makes offenses, often they don't see it. Sometimes even everyone else sees it, but they don't see it. They think, I'm correcting the devotees. We have in Chaitanya Charitamrita the example of Ramachandra Puri. You must have heard about him. And he thought, I'm not correcting the devotees by finding fault. And he became so bad, he corrected his own spiritual master and also the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he couldn't see it. We call this in German language ein blinder Flecken. It means a blind spot. We all have a blind spot. You know, it's usually here, the neck. You know, you can turn it around. And everyone says, you have a very big problem here on the neck. Where? I can't see it. You know. It's called a blind spot. And devotees have this also. We think we are well-intentioned. Our intention is very good. And then we say things which should not be said and so on. And we do things which should not be done. It's a blind spot. Every conditioned soul has this. It needs to be shown to you. So the normal way is if someone doesn't correct you, then the Lord corrects you and puts you into a situation where boom, everything is taken away from you. Before that, we can help someone by telling someone who is superior, because remember, he doesn't do it because he thinks it's a mistake. He thinks it is necessary to do it. I'm correcting, I'm doing a rare service. So if you now tell him, you will confront his ego, his identification, the way he thinks life should be done. And if you confront the ego, the naked ego, that has a lot of power. Have you noticed if you really get on someone's ego, it's really like if you get a little bit, that's not a problem. But if you really hit right in the blind spot, wow, all the powers of the universe are unleashed. And therefore, only a superior person can deal with it. If you come, if he sees you on the same level, he won't listen. If you are on a lower level, that means you're younger in spiritual life, he will punish you severely. So therefore, a superior person can correct. That's Vaishnava etiquette. It's a practical thing. Yes. And if someone continues to commit offense, after some time Krishna just comes and shows him in some way, and the devotee begins, I understand now. But it's better if a devotees point out superiority. Yes. I hope it's on something else than Vaishnava Aparat. Yes, probably.
Yes, speak. Jak můžeme každý den prohlubovat ty základy pro duchovní život?
How can we every day deepen the basis of our spiritual life? How to make the basis of our spiritual life more deep every day.
Yeah. For this, sadhana has been given to us by our spiritual, by Srila Prabhupada. A certain spiritual program has been given, which is very, which you have to do uninterruptedly. Your practice must be done without interruption. That's the idea of sadhana. You know, if you want to boil water, you cannot just put the electricity on and then off and on and off. If you do like this, the water will never come to the boiling point. In the same way, if you want to come somewhere, become deep in your spiritual life, you can't just do sometimes make an intense effort, the other time not. You won't get anywhere with this. Uninterruptedly, steadily sadhana. And I would like to read you a letter where Prabhupada introduces his program, his sadhana program. He said to one of his leaders, "Now you must agree to very rigidly follow the rules and regulations." In other words, rigidly means just strongly. Chanting 16 rounds of beads daily, rising early, attending Mangal Arati. Mostly we are not in the temple, but when we are on Sankirtan, but I think we have a morning program in Sankirtan now. Observing the four principles, attending the classes, we must hear about Krishna, or if there are no classes, we must read. Eating only Bhagavad Prasadam, as well as working under the instruction of my representatives, such as your GBC representative and temple president. And then he says, if you follow this procedure, it's a sadhana procedure, very strictly, then your life will be glorious and you will go back to home, back to Godhead. This I can guarantee. Used to write such letters. He wrote me such a letter also at my initiation. He said, do this and you will go back to Godhead in one lifetime. He said this as a guarantee to everyone. It has nothing to do with, I mean, qualified or unqualified. He said, you do this and I guarantee. This is how you deepen your fundamentals. My dear devotees, I see their hands up for more questions, but time is also there. We are already a little late and we want to start at 11 o'clock. I do not know if all the devotees stay here. Are the devotees from Czechoslovakia and Slovakia staying, or are you leaving this morning?
Some are leaving, some are staying.
Yes, like this. So at 11 o'clock we start our next room. I thank you very, very much, Prabhupada, for listening. Really, I feel greatly honored. Let me just summarize this. What I wanted to say is, I have the very strong feeling that, I mean, I'm talking with my God brothers, the year 2017, 2018, 2019, we are going more into Kali Yuga. Maybe you notice it. I mean, you just need to look one time in the newspapers that you notice something. But don't look in the newspapers. It is they lie like anything in the newspapers. But something is at the same time people become more and more interested in Krishna consciousness. They are more open now because the pressure of Kali Yuga becomes increased. You know, the natural solution is, where can I find shelter? Where can I find meaning and so on? So let us all, in all our various services, know that there we come into times which are materially more challenging, materially, I fainted yesterday when I saw how much the benzene prices have just jumped up. And we are poor, but we need to travel. But I know that we all build our fundaments in our devotional service strong, and we think of purifying our hearts by turning to Krishna, there are unlimited opportunities now coming up. Unlimited. Unlimited, really. So please take this very serious. I wish you all the best. And I want to end with one verse from the Shiva Goswami quotes in one of his sandavas. The verse is, Bhakti brings one the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti brings the Lord under control. Bhakti is stronger than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a very nice verse. So let us strengthen our bhakti in the coming year 2017. All the best for each one of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Prahlad Narasimha Deva ki
jai.
Gaura Premanandi
Sachidananda
Maharaj ki jai.